Every one of us has a unique story to share. By sharing these stories, at times we can inspire and also help others feel like they're not alone. Finding similarities through sharing of our life's journey, that's the foundation of building a community. That's what our podcast is about. Welcome to In Our Community, Season 3. Every kid who grows up playing baseball dreams of what it would be like to be playing for their favorite Major League Baseball organization. But only the few very dedicated, determined, driven, hardest working, and little bit of gifted athletes ever get a chance to make that a reality. In his first season with the Philadelphia Phillies organization, in the low single-A ball club, Clearwater Threshers, left-handed pitcher Braden Fosnot posted ERA of 4.57 in 63 innings pitched, 64 Ks, 39 walks with the final record of 2-4. Now heading to Australia, well, he will be in Australia by the time this episode comes out, with Adelaide Giants of the Australian Baseball League to continue to pitch throughout the offseason. It is my honor to have one of my best friends back on this podcast. Welcome back to In Our Community Podcast, Braden.
Thank you, Hitty. I'm happy to be back.
Yeah,
it's good exciting to be sitting across from you.
What do you think about when you hear about the stats from this past year? How do you feel about it?
It was a learning process. So I think the beginning of the year was like coming out of spring training. It was different because it was something I hadn't done before, like professional baseball, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's a little bit more throwing and a little bit more competitive, I guess.
Is this the – when you look – stats are stats, right? Right. But at the end of the day, is that like the stat line you would have expected heading into the season?
I'm not sure. I don't know if I really had any expectations on what my stats were going to look like.
Mm-hmm. I mean, so 64 Ks in 63 innings, that's pretty impressive.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm not. I don't know what to compare that to, really, because first year. True. But like, I don't want to compare it to too many other pitchers.
Right.
But you know, now it's sort of a baseline for myself, and then see how mm-hmm. progress from this first year to next year, and even a winter ball going mm-hmm. to Australia. So,
talk to us through the journey of that first season, like how it felt like when you first got there, right? Really not knowing what it was going to be like, to how you felt at the end of the season.
I felt very excited at the beginning of the year. It's like, you know, I earned my spot on the team. And I just felt like I had to continue to do the work that I needed to do that, you know, got me there. It was also, like, while I was doing that, I was also learning at the same time that this is going to be a lot, because you practice and then you play, and you do that 6 days a week. So it's learning yourself and how to manage the workload mm-hmm. and how to manage your body and, you know, using the tools that they have and resources that you have available to you in the organization, all the people and personnel. The beginning was good. I ended up getting hurt after about a month, and not quite sure the reason, but I did. And then I went to rehab, got my program changed, which I think was a beneficial thing to have happen, like better early than late, and figure it out and switch it now than later in my career. Mm-hmm. And came back, kind of got hit around a little bit, roughed up. And toward the end of the year, I definitely was a lot more comfortable, started executing a little bit better, throwing more strikes, and was finished the year strong.
What did you feel like was the biggest difference between the levels that you were playing at compared to the professional level?
College to pro?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a jump for sure, but
was this bigger jump than high school to college?
That's a good question. It was, I want to say no, but like high school to college, because it's, I feel like that's vastly different, because now you're going from, well, I don't, our high school experience is a little different because we only play 20 games. Mm-hmm. It's cold. Mm-hmm. So you're not outside much before you play games. Mm-hmm. And then in college, you know, you may not be outside, but you know everybody's getting their work in, mm-hmm. at some point, you know, at least as a team, maybe not on an individual level. Mm-hmm. Some guys kind of skip, but mm-hmm. then like pro ball, it's, they're still getting that work in, but now it's the more finite details of, you know, hitters figuring out their swings, pitchers figuring out their stuff. Mm-hmm. So
it's, yeah. So when I, you know, I've gotten to watch your journey real close, up close from high school till now. When I see this past year in terms of how much time went in to prepare for like 2 to 4 innings a week, right? That's incredible to me. And that speaks volume as to what it means to be a pro. Like the 6 or 7 days of preparation leads into the effort that you give out in 2 to 4 innings that you get to pitch per week.
Yeah, it's a good way to think about it. But
I mean, you live for that moment.
Yeah, that's what you're there to do. You know, you're there to do your job.
Yeah.
So it's like you really, you don't want to wait till you're in the moment to do your job. You know, you kind of want to be prepared, set up for that.
So let me ask you this. So the good side of it is like if you had a really good outing, that could carry on to the next week in terms of your preparation, get tightened, you're excited. All right, I got to do this again. But what happened on the days that was the opposite, where you had a really bad outing, or where you just got knocked around a lot? What was your mentality going into that another week of preparation to get to the next start?
I think you just have to have a short memory. We spend so much time emphasizing, you know, I could have done this better, could have done this better, but you don't also, a lot of people don't think about it like, man, I did this really well. Mm. Let me do that again. So it's taking the good moments out of the bad outings and then flushing the bad moments.
Wow. So I think that's a growth in you. You put that together really well. And that's a great, like, great thing that we can all apply in life, right? Like, you're right. In every bad moment, or, you know, in your case, bad outing, there is still a positive to take away. And that's a skill, to be able to flush the bad and just take away the good.
Yeah. There's, because I felt like I struggled throwing strikes, and especially when I came back. Mm-hmm. But once you get past that, you know, you start to figure out, you know, what feels good and what changes you need to make. Then it becomes a little bit easier when you start throwing strikes and start executing. And then if you give up hits, that's part of the game. But you just don't want to walk people. Mm-hmm. And everybody tries not to walk people, so it's easier said than done. Yeah. But
and you also don't want to give up too many runs, right? Like, that's the other
right,
part.
Yeah. You want your team to win. You want to put your team in a position to win every game.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So even in your first season, your team made it pretty far, right? Like, not many baseball fans follow, like, the single-A ball clubs. Mm-hmm. But your team made it to the championship round.
Yeah.
What was that experience like?
Really cool. You know, postseason baseball is still postseason baseball. It's mm-hmm. a lot of fun. It's just like extra stuff, that extra baseball you get to play. You know, not everybody has the opportunity to get there and then to sort of experience that as a group. It was really cool having our team was like tight-knit. We were about winning, mm-hmm. so, which was also cool to see at professional level, because it's still so much a lot emphasized on development. Mm-hmm. And but
especially at the level that you're playing at, I'm sure a lot of the guys are there for the individual purposes, right? Like, every guy wants to go to the next level. Mm-hmm. Make it to the big leagues. But it's neat to hear that there's still a team camaraderie of like, hey, while we're here, let's win this.
Yeah, because I think if you're trying to accomplish a goal as a team, you accomplish your own individual goals faster.
Oh, I love that. Oh, that's so cool. Yeah. I mean, that's so true, right? Like, it's when the team succeeds, the individual goals are a little bit closer.
Yep.
That is so cool. Because I think, you know, for kids who are playing at like high school level, it's easy to lose that aspect of like, look, like if your team succeeds, there's going to be more people watching you because they're going to be wondering why that team is successful.
Yeah. I mean, like all the high schoolers that want to go play in college, I mean, it applies all the same because you have an individual goal because not everybody on your team wants to play in college. But, you know, if you can sort of bring everybody together as a group and play as a team, it's going to help you push yourself to get to that, you know, goal of playing in college faster.
I mean, I'd even say, you know, knowing you, the success that your college team had, the Westchester Golden Rams, and how far they went in the D3 Nationals, D2 Nationals, sorry, got you on the radar.
It could have, and that's the thing.
Yeah.
We don't know. Nobody knows, like, exactly what happened, but, you know, we had a great team and won a lot of games, had a lot of fun as a group, and had a lot of coaches and, you know, even teammates that were helping me out.
Mm-hmm.
So, goes a long way. Just
The team first
being
mentality.
Being selfless.
Yes.
Yeah.
Team first mentality, but when nobody's looking, you're working on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because you understand that by bettering yourself, you're only helping the team.
Unseen hours.
Unseen hours, baby. That's right. Yeah, and Braden and I tend to listen to the same pods, and we tend to take away a lot from the same message.
Yeah.
Kind of inside look at our friendship. We tend to motivate each other even when we're far away through the messages and the things that we hear and just kind of, you know, cheer each other on.
I'll for sure,
yeah. Do that even when you're in Australia. Talks about the highs and lows of the season.
See, I try not to ride too high or too low, but I definitely had some individual highlights, you know, and some individual lows, but I want to remember the good parts more than the bad parts.
So let's start with the highs. What was your, like, a highest moments? You don't have to pick one, but multiple ones.
Well, I just think, like, playing against and with guys that played at higher levels or big league guys that are rehabbing, just having that opportunity to, you know, share the field with those guys. I mean, they may not remember who I am, but I'm going to remember
some
of those moments for, you know, the rest of my life.
Yeah.
So
I saw this clip. So I'm sharing this to get to a point, but of when the World Baseball Classic was going on, Ohtani pulled his teammates and said, look, like, we're all fans of this American team. Like, they're guys that you look up to. But for today, as we get ready to face them, we can't be fans. We can't be admiring these guys. I'm sure you had a similar kind of experience playing against these guys who are rehabbing and being on the other side. How did you switch that mentality from a fan to, like, all right, I'm a competitor now?
Well, that's what we are at heart. We want to compete and we want to win. So I don't like to lose in a game of checkers, let alone, you know, on the field. But I feel like in the moment, there's not much mindset to shift. Like, it's, I'm in that moment. I'm there, you know.
You never got overpowered mentally by the person that was standing in the batter's box.
No, and sometimes I think, you know, it helps me play up to that level in a way.
Mm-hmm. When you play higher competition, you access that part of you that you didn't know existed.
Yeah, you know, you have to bring it just a little bit. A
little bit
more.
Extra juice.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool. And sometimes you succeed and sometimes you don't.
Yep.
Yeah. Any other high moments from the season?
I think winning the first half was really cool. Getting to experience that as a group. You know, we had a good team and that was a lot of fun.
Mm.
And then playoffs, a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Road trips, a lot of fun, especially like toward the end of the year. You know, it was a more set group of guys, not as much like roster moves. So making some really close friends, and then when we're on the road, you know, we play doubleheader the one day, so we have an extra day off, like Uber into the beach or something like that. So That was cool. Fun.
I mean, you know, you're in a pretty nice area, right?
Like, yeah.
Clearwater, Florida. Aside from like the humidity and the hotness, that's a vacation destination.
Yeah. Oh, we had a brawl too. I mean, So that was pretty cool. I didn't really get involved because I was pitching, but I watched it happen. It was it was interesting.
I can see you like laughing from the bench as the brawl was happening. Like that. Oh, man.
I just moseyed on out onto the field and kind of stood and watched everybody. So.
Oh, man. That's funny. And what about the lows? I know you don't really ride too high or too low, but what would you identify as a low moment of your season?
I think getting hurt, and then, you know, at the time I thought it was a low, thought it was a bad thing, but perspective changed on that with the, you know, making my plan better and then coming back and feeling good. And then just coming back from that and struggling was definitely a low. Like,
it was an adjustment.
Giving up multiple runs at per outing and walking multiple guys. Yeah, velo was still not really there, which still a work in progress. But
yeah,
one day at a time.
I remember you going through that. And injuries, and then these are not like major injuries, right? Like, it's not like a torn ACL or like, you know, anything that requires surgery. But like these little, like, nagging injuries sometimes are worse because you know you're not performing to your best ability. You know that pain, just like sometimes pain is, you know, how we pain resides within our brain in terms of like this hurts. So then you're careful with certain movements, even if you're trying not to be, it affects how you perform.
Yep.
So what was that injury recovery process like at the professional level? How were the staff? What resources were available to you? How were you able to overcome it?
Staff was great. Every possible resource. Like, I've never had dry needling done, but I got that done, and that was interesting. It felt good. They hit a certain spot, and your whole arm just shakes. So that was a new experience. But then just having the training staff available and ATs to, you know, tweak your program to activate different muscles when you throw, and strength coaches to, you know, push you a little bit more in the weight room to be a little bit better, give you some more mobility things to do, just to prepare you to take more workload on as you build back up to get back into throwing.
Biggest lesson learned.
You have to know yourself.
Expand on that.
Learn what you do well. Know what you do well, and just continue to build off of what you do well. You learn a lot more about yourself than you would think. It's hard to put something down on one particular thing because I feel like you learn about yourself in baseball and in life. So.
And you have a lot of time to reflect. Yeah, when you're down there.
I'd say one day a week. I mean, your off day, you definitely have one day a week where you just, it's yours to kind of think, reset. And that's another thing, too. You have to learn how to do that. Like, you have to learn how to separate. Because I feel like I worked a lot of my life for baseball. And now I'm at this point, and now it's how do I separate baseball and life, like work and life, because now it's, doesn't feel like I'm working a job ever, but it is more time consuming than before.
Right.
So it's like, how do I separate that, you know, and have some sort of work, like, quote unquote, work-life balance.
Yes. Do you feel like you got to work on Braden Fosnaught as a person, aside from Braden Fosnaught, the baseball player?
Yes. But I think Braden Fosnaught, the baseball player, teaches the person so much more than I could ever learn without having the baseball experience.
So the baseball player, the Braden Fosnaught, what he was learning, you were able to apply to Braden Fosnaught, the person.
Yeah.
Sitting across from you, just remembering how our podcast went last year, this is a totally different conversation. And I think if the listeners listen to that episode and is listening to this episode, they can literally hear the growth that you're going through. And it's, to me, it's really exciting to hear. And the message that you're delivering through the experience that you've had is different. And it's really, and it's just awesome.
Yeah. I love it. Thank you.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, we share, and I sort of took that from you, as having you as a mentor, you know, growth mindset, 1%, and that's every day. So
what is it like to be in a professional setting? And I'm sure they're pretty honest with in terms of feedback that they give you. Did you have to learn to take feedback well? Or was that already ingrained in you? Like, you knew how to separate a good feedback from, like, your emotional reaction?
Yeah, I feel like I'm pretty good with that. I feel like I keep my cool pretty well. Not necessarily, like, everything they say makes you upset. Some of the stuff makes you excited. So you have to contain that, too, you know, when they tell you, like, when the data or the numbers show that, you know, you've reached a certain point and it makes you really, really excited about that. You have to be able to kind of rein that in also, as well as when you get something that you need to work on, not letting that consume everything that you do. So
that's where you try to stay in the middle, right? Yep. Like, not too high, not too low. Heading to Australia, new country. What are you most excited about?
I heard the food's good.
Really?
The Australian Wagyu that we have to get, I think, is just Wagyu over there. So, good beef.
You love steak.
Steak, seafood, chicken.
Yeah.
All the proteins.
So, I did go on a vacation in Australia when I was young. Sydney, Australia. They eat crocodile meat. And I also had kangaroo meat. Will you try those?
Yeah, I hope. Hopefully, I can.
All right.
I'm That'll looking forward to it.
I also learned a lot about the natives of Australia, the Aborigines. I think that's how you say it. But I hope you get to do some sightseeing too.
Yeah, I think I'll have time.
Yeah.
We only play 4 days a week, so.
Okay. Where you are, you're not like in, you're in one of the major city, but not like the majorest city, if that's
no,
a word,
yeah,
right?
That makes sense.
Yeah.
South Australia.
Adelaide.
Adelaide, yeah.
Okay. Really cool. And how many of your teammates are going with you?
I think there are 10 guys that I know that'll be on the same team as me. So that's exciting. And some of them are from Australia. So that's also helpful.
Yeah.
Having that as a, having somebody as a guide. So
I wonder how American players are viewed in Australia. So, like, for example, I know in Japan, like, American players are looked at as, like, a powerhouse. They're usually in international leagues. There's a limit of international players that you can have, especially in Japanese league. It was, when I was growing up, it was like 3 to 5 on the roster you can only carry at a time. So I wonder if that's a similar kind of rules apply over there. Do you know?
There's some sort of point system. So it's like a native player or an Australian player has like negative points and international player has points. So then you have a certain number of points that you can have for one roster.
Very cool. Yeah. What did, have you done any research into, like, what their league is like? Or
I know there's other organizations that send players. And then I actually saw there was one team that has Korean League players and Japanese League players.
Very cool.
Other than that, I'm not quite sure what the league is all about. I haven't done too much research, you know, but we have, like, seems like we're going to have time, I think a week or two when we get over there before we start playing games to learn everything.
Yeah, acclimate and get your body used to the time change because they're in the opposite time.
Yeah, 14 and a half hours ahead.
Yeah, that's similar to how, like, how I am with my parents, you know what I mean? Like, communicating with the U.S. people is harder when you're over there, so... And but at this point, you've kind of gotten used to being on your own with no close by support. I think that's been part of your success in terms of you've developed the mentality to be okay on your own.
Yeah, I'm definitely fairly comfortable being uncomfortable now. So,
oh, that's such a great quote. Oh, man. And a lot of people think they are until they're put in the situation. They found out quickly that they're not.
You know, relating it to your situation, I'm at least going to a country that I speak the same language as everyone. I couldn't imagine going somewhere where, and I know 10 guys there, like your situation, you didn't know anybody. You don't speak the language. Like, how does that, you know, would you get what advice would you give somebody in that situation, or what advice would you give me? Because I know, but I know people and I speak the language. But
I say going. So it's this is gonna sound easy, but it's harder than it sounds. I'd say go with an empty mind. You know, if you start comparing things, are you're gonna find things that you don't quote unquote like. But if you accept it as it is, and you're able to take in everything that's being thrown at you, even if you're uncomfortable, you don't result in just saying, like, this doesn't feel right because it's not the way that I know. I think you're going to be okay. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because they have their culture. And, you know, as a person that's going to live there, you're the visitor. You know what I mean? Like, you're going into their culture. So everything that you know really doesn't matter.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, because it's different.
Yeah, it's what they know. So then when you learn to accept that and embrace that, embrace your perspective in terms of now you know nothing, then you're okay. But you've done this process in a different situations. Anytime that, you know, you went out of the area to be on your own, or anytime you changed your scenery, you were going into a different culture, even though it was within the same country, right? And when you change teams, you're ingraining yourself in a different culture.
Right.
So you're immersing yourself in a different culture. This is just a bigger perspective, a bigger situation in a sense of you're going to a different country and a different team.
Mm-hmm.
But you've kind of done this. So it's just a bigger step. But, you know, if it's like a, you know, stepping onto a smaller box compared to a bigger box, you know.
Yeah, it's just the fourth longest flight in the world.
It is a long flight. I hope you don't cramp up on that flight.
I got an emergency exit row seat, so I hope I can sprawl out a little bit.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. So what's after that? So you're going to Australia for 2 months. By the time this pod comes out, I think you're going to be in the middle of your Australian season.
Okay.
And after that, you're
coming home, and I'm not sure. Whatever they have in store for me.
Right. Would that be spring training time?
Close to spring training time, yeah.
Okay.
So hopefully get invited there, and then
season two.
That's the next step, and then make a team in season two.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel a little bit more comfortable this year? Like if you were to go back and, well, you are going back,
yeah.
Right? Like you're just going to be some, you don't know what level you're going to be in.
Right. I hope I get invited to spring training. I'm not sure how it works, but and then yeah, I'm definitely more excited for season two, knowing what I know now and how, you know, knowing myself better than last year and knowing what I do well can play to my strengths more.
So I see the growth in your confidence sitting across from you. Do you feel that yourself?
I guess reflecting, yeah. I definitely can tell I'm more confident.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and you've never been the one to come across as cocky, because there's a difference. You know what I mean? But I can tell that you carry yourself better. You seem more confident in your abilities, what you know. You're confident in who you are, which is awesome to see. What do you think has helped you to get there?
I think perspective is a big thing. Just being selfless and helping others, trying to put other people ahead of yourself.
Wait, explain that though. So like that's a really, really great point that you're bringing up. But in your profession, how did you do that?
I'm not even thinking necessarily in the profession or in baseball. Like I'm just thinking, you know, in Danville, like helping out at Shiloh with the food bank.
Uh-huh.
Like things like that, like
just putting yourself in a situation where you feel like you're helping others.
Yeah, giving more can often come back to where you don't feel pressure to put things on yourself always.
I love that. And I think you're right. I 100% agree with you. That's really cool, because you know, like when we think about like personal development, we think, what can I do to like improve myself, right? But really sometimes it's about, you know, what can I offer? It's not what can I do in terms of like, it's not a self-reflection, it's other reflection. Like, I don't know if that's other reflection is the word, but putting more putting others first before yourself can sometimes teach you a lot more about who you are than just trying to really like sit down and think about who you are as a person, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, going, and I did this last year, I went to the children's hospital and you see all those kids, and just to put a smile on the face of a few of them goes a long way, like in my own heart. For me, you know, it puts a lot of perspective on it, knowing that it's such a blessing to be able to play baseball every day and, you know, have be strong and, you know, God-given, built, and
So I know you've signed a lot of autographs down there, right? Like as you're pitching a single A ball.
A few.
Yeah. What does that seem like, surreal that you're signing autographs?
Yeah, sometimes I think they probably don't want mine, but I'm just kidding. Yeah, it does. It's very cool. Yeah. And, you know, again, that's another thing that can go a long way that
you never know. You may have made that kid's like day or entire week or year.
Yeah.
You know.
The Thresher super fans.
Yeah, or there's maybe a couple they'll kids. Sell it for like $1 million 5 years from now. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean they could.
I can't imagine what it's like to be throwing on the mound of a professional baseball stadium. Talk to us about that experience of what it's like being out there.
Yeah, it's something that I hope I don't ever take for granted. Yeah. So getting lost in the repetitiveness of, you know, now it's a more like a job, and I don't want to take it for granted because it's a privilege to be on the field every day, and it's a privilege to show up every day. So
I love this because I think it's easy for you to think like, I deserve to be here, I belong here mindset. And I think, you know, those players, unfortunately, sometimes their career ends earlier. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But I love that mindset. Like, it's a privilege to be here, so I'm going to cherish this moment. I'm going to appreciate it. I mean, that's part of why I love what I love about you is that mindset. And I think that's what's carried you this far, is because you have that as the core. So anything that comes from the standpoint of gratitude, you know, you're going to cherish it. You're going to appreciate it, and you're going to respect it. And that's how you've been.
Yeah, I think like you're saying, you don't necessarily deserve it. You have to earn it. I work for it, but at the same time, I really appreciate it. Like everything that I have been given, every opportunity I've been given, and there have been no's, which are also good because then it gives you motivation to do better. So
when you hear something you don't like, or when you heard something that you don't like, what was your process like digesting that information? Let's put it that way.
For the most part, I would think I'm going to prove you wrong. So especially in high school, I definitely was not the most talented, most gifted high school player by any means. I did well for our area. I'm not sure how I would have compared anywhere else, but I don't have to worry about that now.
Yeah.
So looking to play in college, definitely got my fair share of no's and ended up at Hartford and, you know, was able to prove those people wrong. And sometimes they came back around and wanted me after that, but I wasn't interested. I wanted to take, like, fresh steps, you know.
Very cool. I think there's a lot of golden nuggets that you dropped on this podcast today. I hope that there's a lot of youth athletes. It's one thing to dream and want to be a pro or go to the next level. But the thing that often gets missed or misunderstood is what it really takes to get to that level. I've been privileged enough to watch you go through that process. You know, like, I kind of had an idea of what it takes. That's why I never, like, you know, inflate the egos of the kids who go to play collegiate sports, or inflate the egos of, like, you. Like, I could be like, yeah, Braden's awesome. You are awesome. But I'm not, like, shouting through the rooftop all the time. You know what I mean? Like, because I think it's more than anything else, it's a humbling experience. you got to be ready for adversity.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be ready to hear things that you don't want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're the only thing that you're hearing is you're great, you're great, you're great, you're great, your ego gets inflamed. And that doesn't serve the kids any to prepare for the next level. Because at the next level, that's never going to be like that.
No.
Right?
Right. And I try not to build my ego.
Right. Our conversation entails around, like, what can we be working on? Like, let's adapt this mindset because this is going to help me in the long run. Those are the things that I want kids to be thinking about is, how am I going to prepare myself when things comes crashing down? Am I ready to hear no? Am I ready to lose a close game? And can I get back up from the game that I really wanted to win?
Mm.
You know? Or can I still perform optimally when things in my life are not going so great?
Well, we had the moment this year where, you know, you were sick, and that definitely affected me mentally. Like, one of my best friends, you know, is not doing well. And I actually, to that point in the season, I just came back, was struggling kind of on the field, and then that happened. And just thinking about it, I went and talked to our mental performance coach just to talk to somebody and see what she said. And she brought up, like, you know, is there a way you could honor him? And I ended up writing, you know, Hitty Strong on my cleats and favorite verse, Colossians 3:13.
323.
Yeah. Sorry.
It's okay.
But then the next game that I threw, that to that point in the season, that was the best I had thrown. And
I remember that.
You know, I felt like I derived a lot of strength from, you know, getting to talk to you and seeing how you were doing and knowing you were doing well. So
you're the originator of Hitty Strong. I mean, it's like a common thing to, you know, cheer somebody that's going through something to say name Strong. But like in that moment, like Hitty Strong meant so much, you know? And I watched your game as much as I could from the hospital bed. I remember watching with Cindy one game and just being so proud. And this is something I told you one day, even in the moments of hallucination, I was watching you pitch on the TV screen that wasn't on.
Yeah.
And that was surreal. Like, that's how much, that's when I realized, like, I really care about your journey. I don't, you know, I'm not thinking about, like, I say journey because it's not the success that I care about. I care about your journey, the ups and the downs, because that's what makes you who you are.
Yep.
And that's way more important to me and how far you'll go or how well you succeed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because life is ups and downs. Life is not just up, 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 up. So to me, if I really want to care about somebody, right, and I really care about you, I care about the both ends.
Yeah.
And that's the most important part. And that's how I can support my athletes that, you know, that I'm grateful that I get to work with, is that's how you support them. It's not only the ups, but it's the ups and downs, man.
Yeah, you've been there for me multiple times and times of adversity, so.
Yeah, and you've been there for me too, and I really appreciate that. So as we conclude this pod, I'm excited to see how you're doing, how you're going to be doing in Australia and then beyond. To me, it's like Australia is like, I'm excited to see how you do against an international competition.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
I bet. I'm sure.
The whole experience and then getting to do what I love on top of that is just awesome.
And honestly, like, you know, baseball in other countries, like I know for Japan, like that's the highest level that they got.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure the support is going to be tremendous.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like that experience alone, I think will be really eye-opening, exciting experience for you in Australia. And I'm excited to hear what that experience amount to and then beyond.
Yeah. I can't wait.
Yeah.
Exciting things and in a privileged position for sure. A lot of opportunity and, you know, definitely blessed to be where I'm at.
Yeah. Keep being who you are. Stay humbled. Work hard. which none of these things I have any doubts that you'll continue to be. And I'm excited to see what the conversation looks like next year around this time.
Yeah. So. Well, thank you for everything. Not just the pod, but everything. Yeah,
absolutely. Thanks for coming on, and we'll talk to you next time.